Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
There's a few emotions that we all live with in this life. Joy, sadness, disgust, anger, and fear. And these particular emotions lead to the kind of decisions that we make at any given point in time. We can think our way through certain things, but these emotions of joy and sadness, disgust, anger, and fear are oftentimes the prevailing thing that leads to what we will do with our will. And these five emotions were portrayed and beautifully, and I would say even geniusly, personified on screen in the movie Inside Out.
Yeah.
Joy, sadness, disgust, anger, and fear.
Yeah.
It's a movie about a young girl named Riley. Riley is a young teenage girl who has to move from her hometown in Minnesota out to the West Coast, where she has around the sun, but not around hockey, which is her favorite sport. She's frustrated with her parents for moving her from her hometown and all of her friends. And instead of focusing the plot line on what is happening externally, Disney decides to focus the plot line on what is happening internally.
Wow.
They decide to put on screen these emotions to show that in reality, life is lived from the inside out. Well, this text that David pens is going to teach us that not only is life lived from the inside out, but so is our worship.
Amen.
The worship that God is after is the kind of worship that comes from spirit and truth.
That's good, bro.
He is not after people who are only outside in worshipers. The religious, the ones who come and say the stuff that the Christians are supposed to say because the Christians are around, and when the Christians are no longer around, they no longer say those things.
Wow.
He's after the ones who actually from the belly, from their gut, from their splanka in Greek. Say splanka.
Splanka.
From their gut in Greek. Worship and praise and bless the Lord. And the problem we have as humans is that we are either inside out praisers, or we are outside in praisers.
Wow.
The outside in are, yes, those who are very religious. Those who Jesus would say, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. But the inside out praisers are those who believe in their heart of hearts that they really have faith in God, love God, but nobody around them ever sees it.
Wow.
And the reality is that Jesus himself once again says, out of the heart flows.
Yep.
Yeah.
All the evils in the world, yes, but also out of the heart flows everything that we speak.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is teaching us in these two different teachings that the kind of worship that he is after is one that, yes, comes from the inside, but absolutely shows itself on the outside. Why? Because that's how life works.
Yeah.
From the inside out. When I'm hungry, when all that is within me is hungry, guess what? Y'all gonna know about it.
Yeah.
When all that is within me is angry, guess what? Somebody gonna know about it. And when all that is within us blesses the Lord,
yeah, come on.
We will indeed give the Lord inside out praise.
That's great.
There's two simple points in this text. It's the mandate and then the motivation. Most of our time will be spent on the motivation. And I believe God, in his inspiration through the Holy Spirit given to David, gives us a lot more motivation because he knows that we are a people plagued with short-term memory loss. But before we get to the motivation, we must hear the mandate clearly. And it is not a suggestion. It is not good advice.
Right.
It is not cultural.
Wow.
It is not personality driven.
Come on.
This is not for the black church and not for the white church. This is not for the Latino church and not for other churches. This is for every single church that has ever existed in every individual who calls upon the name of the Lord. This is not a suggestion. It is a command.
Yes, sir.
Bless the Lord.
Yes.
Preach that.
Yes.
This word for bless is a powerful word in Hebrew. And it simply means to kneel.
Yes.
Or to bow. Mm-hmm. You might be asking yourself the question, as we look at this mandate to bless, what in the world does bowing have to do with blessing? Blessing feels like a shout word, jump word. Bowing feels reverential and reflective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What in the world does the one have to do with the other? Mm-hmm. What God is showing us in this scripture is that in order to rightly praise him, mm-hmm. we must simultaneously put our own selves in proper perspective.
Ooh. Come on,
Jesus.
Come on, teach.
Yeah.
This means that to glorify God, you can't at the same time be arrogant.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That to praise God, you can't at the same time be prideful.
Come Say it on. Louder.
You get to either hold on to your pride or release praise, but you can't do both at the same time.
All right.
Yeah.
Bless the Lord. Mm-hmm. This is a powerful, powerful picture given to us in everyday life.
Yeah.
It's what happens when something that is molded is confronted by that which molded it.
Yeah, that's good.
It's the recognition that there is a distinction between a baseball card and a baseball player.
Yep.
The baseball card contains the image.
Ooh.
The baseball player is the image.
Come on. Yeah. Come on.
It's the distinction, my son knows this very well, Jonathan, because he is into cars, between his favorite car, the Dodge Challenger, and his Hot Wheels version, and the Dodge Challenger that's being horsepowered.
All right.
Yeah.
He don't care about the Hot Wheels once he sees the real thing.
All right.
He's no longer holding on to the Hot Wheels when he sees the real thing.
My God.
And as Pastor Ike so brilliantly taught us, the mankind, all of mankind, every single person under the sound of my voice has been made in the image of God, and therefore we are his prototype.
Yeah.
Praise God for that.
Amen.
That is an incredible privilege.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we must forget that we are the type and he is the proto. So bless the Lord.
Yeah.
Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? It doesn't just say bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. It says bless his holy name. What does blessing his name have to do with blessing his nature? Well, the name is actually the representation of his nature.
Yeah, it's so good, bro.
This is why when we call upon the name of Jesus,
yes,
or we pray in the name of Jesus, as again Pastor Ike so brilliantly taught us, mm-hmm, that when we actually do this, what we're saying is not just simply the name of Jesus, because other people are named Jesus, but we're actually saying in the power and authority of the one Messiah who came to Nazareth, died on the cross at Calvary, and rose from the dead and sent his disciples out, in the power and authority of that guy we pray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the name is a direct reflection of the nature.
Yep.
Now there's something interesting about the name of God then.
Mm-hmm.
That's different from all of us. As a good pastor, Charlie Dace, pointed out one time, all of our names are names that are nouns. I got a name Recap. I got a name Ike. Got Paul in here. Jorge. Lindsay. Beautiful singing today, Lindsay, too. Praise God for that.
Yeah, yeah,
that was legit. Like, saw you belting today.
Yeah,
that was amazing. Seriously. Yeah. We all got names that are nouns. But Yahweh's name,
come on,
is a name that is tied to a verb.
Wow.
Remember in Exodus, he revealed himself to Moses, and Moses says, so who shall I tell them is the one who sent me? And he says, tell them I am
that I am.
He says, tell them the I am has sent you. In other words, like, the name of Yahweh is actually a name that is tied to the verb to be. It stands in the perpetual present. It always is.
Yeah.
He is. He is. He is. And if you were the people of Israel, you would have heard it that way.
Yeah.
I want you to think about what this would do for you to pray and praise a God whose name is a verb to be.
Wow.
Think about it. You crying out for a sick child to he is. My daughter's sick. This is legit right now. My daughter's sick. I'm trying to figure out, man, what was happening. This is a couple of days ago. I'm like, Lord, what's going on with her? I don't understand what's happening with her. What's going on? And I can imagine being an Israelite calling out in the Hebrew language something that sounds like, he is, can you help me? Or better yet, can I say it like this to personalize it? You are, can you help me? You are, can you help me? You are, I'm in need of your help. I'm in need of healing. You are, I'm in need of healing. You are, I am in need of healing. You are healer.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Come on.
Or say I'm in need of deliverance. Mm-hmm. Like I'm in David, stuck in a pit, persecuted by Saul. What do I do? So I begin to cry out. You are, I'm in need of deliverance. You are, I'm in need of deliverance. You are deliverer.
Wow.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Or saying something like, because this happened to David too, I'm in need of mercy because I just did some horrible wickedness.
Yeah.
You are, I'm afraid to approach your throne, but I'm coming to you. You are, because I know you are merciful.
Yes,
and
God.
You are merciful and gracious.
Yes. Wow. Come on.
And as soon as you begin to say the name Yahweh, you already filled in the blank to your solution.
Yeah. Come on.
That's good.
Wow.
Yes, God.
Amen.
Okay.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Yeah.
Right here, David goes all Michael Jackson on us. He starts talking to the man in the mirror. Now, y'all out there, this ain't a sermon I'm preaching to you. But he has to tell himself. There was a song that came out some time ago. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself, and I love that. But sometimes you also got to rebuke yourself. And sometimes you got to correct yourself, and sometimes you got to teach yourself. And David is saying here, yo, I just need to tell myself, because sometimes myself seems to forget that he's praiseworthy. Everything inside of me needs to bless the one who is worthy.
Yes, sir.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. In other words, David is telling all of his Davidness to praise Yahweh for all of his Yahwehness.
Yeah, wow.
All right, come on.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Say all.
All.
Yo, this is a powerful, powerful, powerful text. Because what David is saying is two powerful things. One, he's saying, I do not want my soul to become content with partial praise. Have you become content with partial praise? You give God part of your week. You give God the leftover part of your time. You give God, and we are tithers, part of your resources. As though the only resources that God is able to receive is the one that you give in an offering basket. As though he ain't checking the other 90% to see what you're doing with that as well.
Oh, wow.
Are you a partial praiser? David is saying, I refuse to be content with partial praise. But he also says, I refuse to be content with privatized praise. Because if all that is inside of me is praising God, all who are outside of me will know about it. It was interesting when I bought one of my first washing machine, dryer machine combos. I had to go for the cheap version. It had all the bread for the nice, you know, aluminum joints. I had to go for them white, small, contained joints, and they worked like they were cheap. So every time we would put the laundry in a joint, I don't know if y'all ever had these kind of washing machines. But you put the laundry inside of it.
Yeah.
And once you put the laundry inside of it, it begins to start to rumble. And then at some point, and you feel like, oh no, I'm in North Philly again. Because when that joint is going off, everybody knows it. In other words, all that is within the washer machine becomes known to everybody outside of it. Well, if God has really deposited salvation into your heart, if God has really deposited redemption into your heart, if God has really deposited joy into your heart, love into your heart, grace into your heart, if he has put it into the laundromat of your heart, if all that is within you is thankful for all that he has deposited, then all that are outside of you should know it.
Amen.
David will not be content with either partial praise or privatized praise. Is that you today? If it's you, just do what David did. Command your soul to bless the one who is worthy. Mandate yourself to praise God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. But now, we get to the motivation. The motivation is beautiful, and the next thing he says is, forget not all his benefits. Here goes the word all again. David begins by saying, yo, bless the Lord, all my soul. If we were going to use even these five emotions of joy and sadness and disgust and anger and fear, we would say David is basically saying, hey, joy inside of me, be a joy that is satisfied with God and God alone. Sadness inside of me, be a sadness that is grieving the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Disgust, be a disgustedness with the disgustingness of my own sin. Anger, be that righteous indignation that comes from reading the scriptures' idea of justice, not the world's.
Come on.
And let my fear be the fear of the Lord. For that is the beginning of wisdom. He says, in order for all that is within me to do that, I got to remember all his benefits. So David is going to give us, listen to me, and this is so beautiful and it's so glorious how he does this. He is going to give us three categories of benefits of the Lord that give us reason to worship him. He, and all of them are going to come down to this word that we've talked about before, chesed. Say chesed.
Chesed.
Say again, say chesed.
Chesed.
Say it with the ha-ha. Say chesed.
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 Chesed. I don't hear the people in the back. Chesed.
Chesed.
There we go. There we go. That sounds good. Chesed is the word that we don't have a good translation for because nothing really translates. It's the word that is translated steadfast love here. It's translated loyal love in other places. And then King James just came up with a word, loving kindness. That word is the word for God and God alone's unique kind of love that he pours out for his people. I know this because Joseph talks about his chesed. And this text says that he had been experiencing the chesed of God throughout his lifetime, even when he was thrown into prison in slavery. But then he's in prison and he meets there a fellow prisoner. And he says to the fellow prisoner, yo, remember me when you get out, because I just gave you a good word from the Lord. Remember me for chesed. Remember me for steadfast love. And the guy gets out, and what does he do? He forgets the chesed. And it taught Joseph a very important thing, that chesed can only come from heaven. So in this text, David is going to hone in on the chesed of God, the steadfast love of God, the loyal love of God, but he's going to hone in on it in three different ways. He's going to say the first motivation for all out praise, for inside out praise, is personal. Notice the text, personal benefits, personal grace, personal love. He's talking to David himself still here. He says, who forgives all your iniquity. Can we stop there? Anybody been forgiven by God before? Maybe I'm the only one. I would have shouted louder on that.
Yes, sir.
I would have been way more hype on that. Like I remember times, maybe you don't have this kind of sin in your own heart, so forgive me for those of you who have had much better lives than me. I remember times where I would literally think about a sin I was going to commit. I know somebody felt that before. That's why she passed over. She's been there, so she can praise louder. Yeah? So I remember thinking about a sin. Hearing the Holy Spirit say, stop thinking about that.
Yep.
And then the thinking would turn into looking for.
Yep.
And then the Holy Spirit would say, take your eyes and put them on me.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And then the looking for turned into actually finding.
Yep.
And the Holy Spirit would say, please turn around.
Yep.
And then after the finding, I would finally do the thing that I had been thinking about in the beginning.
Yeah.
Folks. That ain't no mistake.
Come on now.
That is premeditated rebellion. That is, here it is, wickedness in the first degree. That is the definition of iniquity, by the way. Sin is everything that misses the mark. You know, you can go out in archery, you shoot that joint, you miss. You try, you know. Try with everything, but you miss. That's sin. You miss. People miss. We make mistakes. Why? Because corruption has come in and we are not perfect. We sin. So that takes care of everything. But then there's another layer, transgression. That's when you violate, when you've gone out of bounds, when you know what the word said and you've done something else. That's like on the basketball court, you literally step out of bounds. We've all done that too, but then there's this third level, iniquity. And iniquity is not simply you turning over the ball because you got plucked by the defender or you stepping out of bounds. Iniquity is when you say, bump this, I'm going to start scoring for the other team.
All right.
Wow.
David knows a little bit something about him, about this, don't he?
Yeah.
Do you know how premeditated it had to be to look at his best friend's wife? When he got dozens of his own. Say, I just want one more. Knowing that this brother daily risked his life to protect him. And not only am I going to look at her, which is horrible enough, but I'm going to send for her, take her, the text says, just in the text, this is forceful. I'm in the text. Then, after lying with her, I'm then going to try to get my best friend who was risking his life to protect me to go and lay with his wife himself so that he will think he got her pregnant.
Wow.
And when my best friend is too holy to lay with his own wife because he doesn't want to satisfy his pleasure while they're at battle, David says, I have no other choice but to kill my friend. Premeditated wickedness in the first degree. But here is the chesed of God.
Preach, bro. Preach.
Come on.
Who forgives all your iniquity.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Wow. Wow.
Sheesh.
Maybe you don't have no wickedness in the first degree.
No.
Maybe you don't have any premeditated rebellion.
Yes, Lord.
For your but for your boy right here, this text makes me shout because I think of the many times that I didn't just stumble and fall and make some daggone mistakes, but that I thought about rebelling against God, heard the Spirit telling me not to rebel, and I did it anyway, and I still found a place to find comfort in the same God I rebelled against.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Jesus,
have mercy.
This is Psalm 103, David. looking back at Psalm 51, David. He was asking for mercy. And now that he has received it, he said, I got no choice but to bless the Lord. The next thing he says, he heals all your diseases. Some people have been healed in this place. I know in my own family, people have been healed. And we can quickly turn this into spiritual healing, which we know he will do. But some of y'all had your bodies healed too. And some of y'all have experienced the actual healing grace of the God who made not just your spirit, but your body too. And when the God who made all that is physical comes down and touches your physicality, David says, yo, you need to praise the Lord. The next thing he says is, who redeemed your life from the pit. David has been in some pits before. He's been in the pit of persecution of Saul, and he's been in the pit of persecution of his own son. And it says the Lord redeemed him from it. There's a passage in Zechariah 9 that talks about how God will turn prisoners of the pit into prisoners of hope. Can I ask you the question, have you ever been a prisoner before? Have you ever needed God to snatch you out of something? Have you ever needed God to redeem you? To bring you out of something? The text is saying that if you've ever been brought out of something, and maybe some of y'all, y'all just never got caught into it, praise the Lord, hallelujah for you. Maybe sometimes God needs the worst of all sinners to bring things out. But for your boy, I've been caught in some stuff. I have been caught in the pit. And I have needed redemption, yo. I have needed the hand of God, which was the only arm long enough to pull me out of that deep pit. I have needed him to take that whole arm and pull me out of some stuff. So David says, when you've experienced that, you need have no choice, soul, but to bless the Lord. The wordplay in this next one is crazy. He said, who crowns you with steadfast love? David is the king. The king wears a what?
A crown.
A crown. But David is saying, I ain't get the crown like other people get the crown. Other people get the crown by succession. You know, daddy was the king, and then he passes the crown on to another king, and he passes the crown on to his son, and he passes the crown on to his son. But I didn't get it like that. I was crowned in love. God looked upon me and crowned me in love, and the crown I have on my head is just a representation of a greater crowning that I've experienced.
Thank you, Jesus.
And then finally, this is good. Boy's feeling some of this right here. Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David is probably much older at this point when he is writing this. And David is basically saying, because of the grace, the love, and the chesed of God, I have just turned the 80 into the new 20. He's like, yo, I'm feeling a pep in my step. One of my mentors, this is real rap, one of my mentors, for me and my wife, is like relationship goals. Like he and his wife are 73 and 72 years old.
What?
And they just hopping around, dancing, moving. I mean, his body has been through so much, and yet they got a pep in their step. And we can, as Americans, say that's because of what they do physically. But there is something that physicality can't do. Physicality, exercise, and bodily training can't produce internal joy.
That's right.
That's good.
That's right.
David said, I'm feeling good. I know my day might be knocking on the door. I know my time is coming up. But as I even go to that death day, I'm going to go to that joint bursting it through. Because I'm feeling good about myself. And then for some of us, can I just say this as a word, yo? Some of us feel older than we should because we haven't tapped into the chesed of God.
Wow.
Some of us 25 going on 80. Going on 90. Can I say this real rap? What do you think the satanic act of suicide is? is demonic. And we get tricked in our minds into thinking that life is hopeless. Because the devil would want nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. So a 25-year-old feels like I might as well die. Not knowing that God has rich and wealthy plans for them. What has happened? The chesed of God has lost it. And they don't no longer see it. I've had to talk so many brothers and sisters, young brothers and sisters. I'm like, look at you, girl. You're beautiful. You're 17. Do you know what God, look, in this one conversation, you have revealed three things in the scripture that I haven't seen before. I've had these kind of conversations. But Satan is in your ear saying that it's not worth it anymore. Because you failed a grade? An exam? Because of a comment? No, Satan would want nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy, but God wants to satisfy.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
David says, yo, though I am 80, I feel like I'm 20 years old. Rocking out, feeling good about myself. Yeah. Have you praised the Lord for his personal love?
Yeah.
The next thing is his global love. And oh my goodness, this gets incredible. It says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. You know what this means? That America isn't the first person to say liberty and justice for all. From the rip.
Come on, bro.
That was on God's heart. Whether it be the widow who is now mothering a child whose father has passed, or the single mother who was mothering a child whose father abandoned him. Whatever it is, God says justice for them. This is not just justice for the unborn who can't speak up for themselves. It's also justice for the unarmed who can't speak up for themselves. Justice and righteousness for all who are oppressed. And in 2023, are you not happy that our God in heaven doesn't have a Republican-based justice or a Democratic-based justice?
Come on, bro.
That he doesn't define those who are oppressed by what one group says are oppressed.
Say that. Say it.
Come on.
Our God is an all people kind of justice kind of God. When you have experienced oppression, God is like, as we said before, here is a tissue for the oppression you have experienced. And then I am going to box with the person who made you require the tissue. God is a God of justice and righteousness for all. For this reason, y'all, we don't need to worry about who's in office. We don't got to worry about who campaigned to get in office. Because we have a God who is still on the throne. And from heaven we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our citizenship lies. Justice and righteousness for all who are oppressed. Global love. It says he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. What were his ways and his acts? He's about to tell you. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. These are the ways of God. This is tied to the name of God, because as we said, his name is a reflection of his nature. When Moses asked, yo, show me who you are. Show me your person. Show me your ways. The text says in Exodus 34 that Yahweh passed by him and Yahweh declared his own name. You know you're a boss when you talk about yourself like that. He said, Yahweh, a Lord merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. David is simply saying that what a grace it is that God who created all things would reveal himself to us.
That's really good, bro.
Amen. In the words of the passage that Pastor Demetrius preached, what in the world is man that you were mindful of? Or the son of man that you care for him? But he cared for us enough to reveal himself to us. But Christian, believer in Jesus Christ, the one who has placed their confidence in the Messiah who rose from the dead, he sent his spirit into your hearts So God doesn't just reveal himself to you. God has revealed himself in you.
Yeah. Amen. Woo. Say that.
Wow. Mm. We've been blessed with a different kind of covenant, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And David says, for this reason, for this global revelation of the Lord, we should worship him.
Yes.
But he doesn't stop there. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. Can I put that simply? David is saying that God's anger has an expiration date.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Some of us are still holding grudges from 2012. And the stuff we hold in grudges for is petty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Come on.
David is looking at a God who forgave him for adultery and murder.
Jody.
And he said, yo, how quickly he went got over that.
Wow.
I just turned and repented and he forgave me.
Yeah.
It happens so much we take it for granted.
Yeah.
But we need to be reminded, yo, God's anger don't last if we are in him.
Yeah.
His anger has no expiration date.
Yeah.
Verse 10, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Everybody talking about, man, we want fair justice.
Mm. You sure?
Where? There's a reason David is saying it's good news. That he don't deal with us according to what we've done.
Right.
I praise God that his justice ain't built on fairness.
Okay.
It's built on favor.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And this favor comes through the one who has no sins to be dealt with.
Yes, sir.
So because of the Lord Jesus, he doesn't have to deal with us according to our sins.
Yep.
He can pour all of the wrath that our sins deserved upon him so that all he can pour out to us is hesed, is love.
Yep.
This happens all the time, by the way, but there's an episode of Office where one of the employees gets paid somebody else's paycheck and they have to reverse that job.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than that. Where you got to reverse somebody's paycheck after you paid them the wrong thing. These accidents, these mistakes happen from the HR department, sorry, Jorge, all the time. It happens. But it happens by mistake. Can I say this real quick?
Come on, say it.
What happens in corporate life by mistake, by accident, God does on purpose. The wages of sin is what?
Death.
We've earned our death. We've earned our wrath. What we deserve after our good 40 hours of life is a paycheck reading death. But God says, anybody play Monopoly? The bank has erred in your favor. And he has given us the paycheck somebody else earned.
Wow.
But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
But he don't stop there. Then David legit goes crazy. From verse 12 through 13, David stretches the lengths of the Hebrew language to his linguistic limits in order to lay out the limitlessness of the Lord's loyal love. And I will say that one more time and slow it down so y'all catch that, because it is a mouthful. But David here is stretching the lengths of the Hebrew language to its linguistic lengths, almost to that point that John snaps, in order to lay out before us the limitlessness, the non-stoppingness, the never run outness of the Lord's loyal love.
Wow.
He first defines something that's undefinable. He says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the steadfast love of the Lord towards those who fear him.
Ooh. And mercy.
Now, this means something even for us. You know, kids look up, you know, I love you this much. I love you this much. And whoever's more flexible wins, you know what I mean? You can look up and say, like, the Lord loves me this much. And it means something to us even as Americans. Because you can look up and say, yo, how high does high go? Man, he loves me that much. But the Hebrew concept of heavens was far deeper than just looking up. They had three levels of heavens. You had the sky, regular heaven. Then you had space, like, you know, Jupiter, planet, Mars, galaxies, all that stuff. And then beyond that, you had the glorious heaven where God himself sat. Here it is, David is saying, as high as you are, God, which is undefinable, above us, so great is your love towards us. What he's basically saying is that there are no words to describe just how high the heights of God's love are. Put down the measuring stick. Put down the yardstick. Put down the ruler. You just can't quantify just how high the Lord's love is towards you. Have you experienced that love?
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
But after talking about the heights of God's love, now he moves to the breadth of God's love. As far as the east is
from the west.
So far does he remove our, say remove.
Remove
our transgressions from us. Oh my goodness, this is good.
Thank
you, Lord. So in the Hebrew concept again, east from the west is not as simple as, all right, you know, like from this country to that country.
No.
Nope.
They saw the earth is flat. So they had ends of the earth. And David is saying, from one end where the earth stops to the other end where the earth stops, so far do you remove our transgressions from us. This might not mean anything to you because many of us don't understand what transgression being tied to us really means.
Wow. Yeah.
But may I just give you two passages that show us what it means?
Yeah. Come on.
In Genesis 3, transgression was glued to humanity. What had to happen?
Sacrifice.
God had to sacrifice an animal and send them out of the garden.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Isaiah chapter 60 talks about sin separating us from God. Your sin has created a separation. In other words, when your sin is glued to you, you have to get away from God. But God, thank you, Jesus.
Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Says, I'll remove the sin that's glued to you so that you can now be glued to me. Friends, that is reconciliation.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
The removal of your transgressions is what transforms you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And inside out, little Riley moved from, you know, Minneapolis to the West Coast. And there's a lot of things that happened as a result of her moving. What it shows us is that travel is inherently transformative. So when God says to your sin and your transgression and your iniquity, I'm gonna make y'all move. I'm gonna make y'all travel. I'm gonna make y'all move so far from the east that the east is from the west. It is inherently transformative for the people who once housed that transgression.
Yeah.
This is what transformed you. This is the breadth of God's love.
Ooh.
But now he gets to the depth of God's love. And this is where I just can't help but shout. It says, as a father. Christian, we take this for granted because we are Christians who live with God as our father. But when we see this in the Old Testament, make no mistake about it, this was not a normal concept. There were places where it showed up in the Hebrew scriptures for sure, but this did not dominate their language. David is tapping into something prophetic here. He says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust.
Wow.
The text is saying that as a dad looks upon his own kids, So does God look upon his own people.
Yeah.
And as a dad, this did something to me, y'all. My my daughter Hadassah is my baby girl. And when Zipporah was born, she was my baby girl. And I had Aaron as my firstborn. And if anybody has ever had boys, it's just different when you have a daughter. Something clicks in a different way. It's even happened for my son Aaron. He was not very helpful with Jonathan. But when Hadassah was born, all of a sudden he wanted to become a man. Take care of her, feeding her, putting her to sleep. Everything I've been asking him to do for a minute, as soon as Hadassah's born, it clicked. And I know for us, because they are our baby girls, that when we go to the playground and we see little kids playing in the playground, they, you know, kids don't got no, when people say, just let kids be kids. Like, to an extent, though. Because they like, it's like, especially boys, like self-destruct, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, find a way to harm yourself. So when I'm on a playground, you know, and I'm not like proud of it. I've had many of these experiences now with both Zipporah and Hadassah. I'll be at the playground, and I'll see little Johnny, or, you know, I even see one of these, you know, other kids, like, we family, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's always the boys who are literally like, bro, you don't know how to walk yet, but you're climbing on the top of the slide.
Yeah.
And not just like climbing up the slide, I used to do that, but climbing on the top of the round joint that's closed in. Bro, you don't know what you're doing yet. You don't have that talent level yet. So inevitably, every time I go to the playground, you just waiting for it. Can't even read yet, because you know somebody's going to scream by the end of it. And then it happens, and they start screaming. Now, this is a no judgment zone. The initial thing I do is I look down to listen if that is the scream of Hadassah. That don't sound like a Hadassah. I'm not proud, y'all. I'm not proud. But I keep my business going, y'all. Because I mean, maybe they want help. You know, I mean, you know how it is. You talk yourself about it. All the reasons to help, right? But let it be Hadassah.
Ooh.
It can be, and she know it now, so this is why she just cried for no reason. She can literally say, ow!
And you come running.
Hadassah?
Yeah.
I'm running.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to her.
Uh-huh.
And I am going to act like I am 911. An emergency response on the spot for a boo-boo that don't even show up on her elbow. You want a kiss? I'll kiss it 100 times. You want a Band-Aid? Absolutely, you deserve a Band-Aid. You want me to fight the slide that did this to you?
Daddy,
I throw hands. I will do all of that for Zipporah's slightest ouch. This text is saying that God loves you so much that he responds to your slightest ouch.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The smallest ouch.
Mm-hmm.
The smallest thing, the stuff that you wouldn't tell nobody else because they would say that's too small.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Like, why are you bringing that to me in tears?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Why are you crying over that? Mm-hmm. Are you serious? That's your issue? You know what I've been through? Mm-hmm. The stuff that we're afraid to take to other people because our ouch isn't significant enough.
Mm-hmm.
The text is saying that God is not only ready and willing to hear it, but he's ready to respond because he sees you as a dad sees you.
Yep.
Mm. He will respond to even your most insignificant ouch.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, after talking about the global love of the Lord, he finally gets to the eternal love of the Lord.
Wow.
And have you noticed the movement of the text? He has moved from the personal to the eternal. From the intimate to the infinite.
Mm.
Can I say it like this? He has moved from inside
to out.
Mm-hmm. David is saying we need to give God an inside out praise because God has given us an inside out love.
Yep.
And notice what he says. He's comparing God's love to us. As for a man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower to fill. In other words, this is what your success looks like. As beautiful as the flowers of the grass. For the wind passes over it and it is gone and its place knows it no more. It's like a beautiful rose getting real hype. Yo, look at me in my glory, yo. I'm a rose of mine, you know what I mean? Red and all of that. Got beautiful petals. Look at you, you trash, yo, tulip. You know what I mean? Like, you looking real good, right? Bro, get that joint on 7 days. And it's gone. Give it a year. And those petals are disintegrated. It happens like that. And we can get so used to people's love that happens like that, that we will project that upon the love of God. But David wants to make it real solid and clear. The reason you have experienced fleeting love in your relationship is because the person who's giving you that love is fleeting themselves. But God's love is immovable because God's nature is immutable. His love is eternal because he is. The text says, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. This text has gone to great lengths to say to us that God's love is continual. God's love is endless. God's love never runs out. For those who fear him. It doesn't say to those who like him. Hear me, believer in Jesus Christ. It doesn't say to those who have gone to church and believe some of the tenets of the faith. It says to those whose heart actually fears God. Do you fear him? Do you fear him? Like in the presence of God, do you become very tiny? Do you feel the need to bow? King David, who wrote this, was great, but in the presence of God, he bowed. Moses was great, but in the presence of God, he bowed. Joshua was great, but in the presence of God, he bowed. Isaiah was great, but in the presence of God, he bowed. You might be great. But what do you do in the presence of God? Do you bow? Do you kneel? Do you bless the Lord? David has given you three sets of reason. His personal love, his global love, and his eternal love. This is basically the breadth, length, and height, and depth of the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, Paul says to us in Ephesians 3. But his last words are so beautiful. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Hear this. All of this love, all of this chesed, all of this faithful and compassionate mercy and grace that God has given is actually characteristic of his kingdom. And his kingdom not only never ends, but it will rule over everything. We don't like kings and rulers because kings and rulers are tyrants. But I would love a king and a kingdom that is characterized by great love.
Come on.
Do you know that king? Do you know who he is?
Jesus.
The psalmist will one ask the question, who is this king of glory though?
Yeah.
Who is this king who has established his throne? Who is this Lord? Who is this Yahweh? Who is this one who has poured out righteousness and justice to all who are oppressed? Who has forgiven our sins? Who has healed our diseases? Who is the one who has a love that is higher than the heaven of heavens or above the earth? Who is this king? Who is this one, hear me, who has given to us personal, global, and eternal love? Maybe one of the most familiar passages in all of Scripture will help you know who it is. It says, for God so loved the world, global, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes, can I say it like this? Whoever believes personal in him might never perish, but have everlasting, dare I say, eternal life.
So good, bro.
Who is this King of Glory? It is the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. It is Jesus Christ himself.
Hallelujah.
But I want to say this to y'all. It costs Jesus everything to pour out this love to us. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we don't fear him like we should. If we're honest with ourselves, we don't reverence him like we should. If we're honest with ourselves, we don't bless him like we should. And if we're honest with ourselves, we do not keep his covenant.
Yeah.
Say that.
So Jesus said, I'll come and keep my own.
Yeah.
Wow. He died upon a cross. He became a curse so that you might be blessed.
Yeah.
Wow. He died there on the cross. He cried out for our forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the text says in Isaiah chapter 53 that by his stripes we are what?
Healed.
It was through his death on the cross that he redeemed us out of the pit. They crowned him with thorns, but then he crowned us with steadfast love. And then he rose from the dead to prove that he can indeed satisfy us with good so that he can renew our youth like the eagles.
Yes, Lord.
This Jesus has done everything that Yahweh has done. Therefore, we do what? Bless his holy name. That name that of Jesus that is above every single name. That name that is exalted above every single name to the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Is the one that we bless.
Amen.
Amen.
So whenever, hear me, whenever your heart is paralyzed by fear, your heart is filled with inappropriate anger, your heart is disgusted by that which is actually not disgusting in the eyes of God, and not disgusted by that which is. Hear me on this. Whenever your heart is overwhelmed with sadness, or sadly, you can't seem to catch that fleeting joy. Just remember this illustration as I get out of your way. There was a scene in Inside Out that puts all of this together for us. Riley has joy inside of her, and joy as a little kid dominates her inside. It's kind of cool because joy dominates the control room of her soul. So as we come to a text where David is talking to the control room of his soul, just see yourself in a text or a young Riley. Joy, at one point, loses what is called a core memory. So she goes searching for this core memory, and then she finds herself having fallen into the pit of forgotten memories. As joy falls into the pit of forgotten memories, guess what happens to Riley? Young Riley begins to become overwhelmed with sadness. She begins to be paralyzed by fear. She's disgusted by the wrong thing. She's angered by everything she shouldn't be angered by. All of her emotions are out of whack because joy has fallen into the pit.
Come on, God. Come on.
But then at some point, this little character that Riley had in her mind has this wagon. He's in the pit with Riley. I mean, with Joy. So he's in this pit with Joy, and he like says to Joy, if we can get in this wagon and if I can just say the right words, this wagon will be powered up to the top of the cliff and will be brought to safety. So he says these magical words. The wagon starts to fly, and it goes to the cliff almost, and then it falls back down. So this character does it again with joy in front of him. So he does this again, says the words, and then it goes to the cliff almost, and then it falls back down. They try this over and over and over again, and they both get tired, and they begin to give up. So finally, this character says to himself, in order for joy to be saved, I myself am going to have to fall into the pit. So the character, this little elephant-looking thing, one more time says the right words.
Wow, wow, wow.
And he sets joy before him.
Ooh.
And they make it all the way to the top. And while they're on the way to the top, he falls back into the pit, leaving the wagon with just enough lightweightness to make it to the cliff and save joy.
Wow.
Wow.
And this actually ultimately saves Riley. And I look at that and I say, don't that sound like something we know?
Yep.
Friends, I want you to know that 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ, who ain't no make-believe character, but he is the real man of Nazareth,
yeah.
was living a life that we could never live.
Yeah.
And then he knew what his purpose was, which was to die on a cross. Mm-hmm. He says, in order for joy to be saved, in order for the people to be saved, I must myself fall into the pit so that they may be rescued.
Yeah.
So Jesus, Hebrews, sets joy before him.
All right.
And he goes all the way to the cross, falls into the pit, and then joy is kept, hope is kept, love is kept. But hear me on this, Jesus had to die.
Yeah.
The only difference between this story and ours is that our Jesus was able to raise his own self from the pit.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So hear me, Christian. There are going to be times where you are paralyzed by fear. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. There are going to be times where your heart is filled with the wrong kind of anger. There is going to be times, hear me, Christian, where you are disgusted by the wrong things. There are going to be times where you're overwhelmed with sadness, and there are going to be times where it feels like joy is fleeting. But for every single one of those times, remember this, that it was for the joy set before him that the man of sadness endured the cross, despising and disregarding the disgust, so that he might satisfy the anger of God and say to you these beautiful words, fear not.
Yeah.
I am with you.
Amen.
Friends, I just want to say this as I conclude this series on Psalms. What we need to hear so truthfully in 2023. And believer in Jesus Christ, like, I talked to enough of you guys to know that not everybody happy every time. And I talked to enough of you guys to know that not everybody is feeling like they're as pure as they need to be. I just want you to remember the words of all of these Psalms. These psalms that have been near and dear to our heart. These psalms that have penetrated our hearts. Look, men and children. Friends, I want us to know. I want each and every one of us to know. One of us to know that even when our heart is overwhelmed with all these things, all that is within us is off. Keep your head up.
Yeah.
Yahweh, our master, hallelujah, is the good shepherd who leads us to the highway of happiness, Shalom Boulevard, where satisfaction is guaranteed.
Yeah.
In other words, good grief. You got it made.
Yeah.
Therefore, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen.
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 Amen.